It bothers me when people say I'm an empath. I do feel other people's emotions, but I don't think that that is unique to me. I just believe that that is a choice that I make and something that I practice. Empathy is a natural capability that we have as humans. It's the ability to project your consciousness outside of your own ego and perceive reality through someone else's eyes. It's important to exercise it because it empowers us and it empowers other people. We all want to be seen and understood. And the thing is, a lack of empathy is the reason why we have suffering in this world. Empathy is the solution. I've lived in Nashville for a little over a year and a half now. And when we first moved here, we noticed that there was this guy on the corner of an intersection that we frequently take to get home and leave home. It's basically a bridge that goes over the highway. And when you get off of the highway onto the bridge, there's this homeless guy that stands there and he has a sign and, you know, says something. And he's asking for, you know, money. And felt really bad for the guy for a little bit. Obviously, going around town more, we saw more homeless people. I've always had a soft spot for it because my family was homeless at one point. We actually lived in a motel. So we weren't homeless, but we didn't have a house. And the hotel or the motel was not a home. It was not the greatest of motels. So, you know, I can empathize with the situation. But here's the thing. It's been a year and a half now. And the same guy is on the same corner. And every time the light turns green and cars start moving again and he knows that he's not going to be getting any handouts from that line of cars, he throws a fit. I've seen him throw his sign. I've seen him yell and start cussing at people as if they're going to hear him with their windows up. And overall just has this sense of entitlement. That's really frustrating. And it's confusing because it's been a year and a half and he is in the same position. And I know that he does get handouts. I've seen it. Now, I don't know what it's like to be in that position, but I could imagine what it would take to get there. And I could also imagine what it would take to get out of there. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because I've been thinking a lot about empathy recently. And I especially have been noticing that when we talk about empathy, when we think of empathy, we think about it from an emotional perspective. We think of empathy as something regarding the emotions. And I don't think that that is false. but I do think that it leaves out one half of the equation. And I'm not the biggest fan of duality, so maybe there's more parts to the equation. But I do think that when you present things, you know, when there's one thing that's longstanding and then you go, hey, there's like a totally opposite side to this as well, I don't think that's as dualist as just like thinking one side of something is right and the other is wrong. This is like, hey, these are both true, which kind of combats duality. So anyway, no one really talks about the mental aspect of empathy. I haven't before now. But if you listen back to the story I just told you, or if you remember, because it wasn't that long ago, I said that I can empathize with his situation because of XYZ. And then I also said I can imagine what it would take to get into that position and what it would take to get out. So I think when you exercise empathy, it takes both an emotional and mental capability. Now, really quick, I would like to go over something that's kind of bothered me for a while. It bothers me when people say, I'm an empath. And it's not because I think that they're stupid or making shit up. I just think that what it does is it perpetuates this idea that empaths are special people that are born with this ability to feel other people's emotions, and that they have this special ability that other people don't have. Now, there's no way for me to really know this, right? Because I think that I fall into that category. I just think that it's categorized incorrectly. I do feel other people's emotions. But I don't think that that is unique to me. I just believe that that is a choice that I make and something that I practice. So I don't think that empathy is this special thing that you have to be born with or you aren't capable of it. I think that it's an inherent human trait, the ability to basically project your consciousness outside of your own ego and perceive reality through someone else's eyes. And that is both an emotional and mental effort. I think that when we continue with this idea that there are empaths, which also insinuates that there are people that aren't, what we're doing is we are putting people who practice empathy, we are taking away their power by saying, oh, this is just a trait that you automatically were born with and it makes you special. And we're not acknowledging the work that they do to be empathetic, the effort that they put in to actually have that perspective. And I think we also, in the same breath, disempower everyone else, which can lead to certain people going, oh, I'm not an empath. And they make excuses for not exercising empathy and for treating people harshly and for not being kind and gentle. So I think it hurts everyone to perpetuate this idea that empaths are somehow this rare mutant. I think every human has the capability to be an empath. Now, side note, I know that there are certain mental challenges, things like narcissistic personality disorder, just general psychopathy and sociopathy. I think that's how you would say that. I know that there's a lot of different factors here, and I am speaking generally, but generally speaking, there is value to speaking generally because, there is an average, there's an average height, there's an average weight, there's even across the world, there's an average skin tone. Some people are very, very black. Other people are very, very white. Other people are in between as far as the shade of their skin. And so there's an average skin tone. Maybe we don't know what it is. speaking generally, outside of, mental variants that maybe prohibit the exercise of empathy, I think that it's an ability that everyone has. I think it's a human trait, and it's something that you need to practice. Some people are just naturally, very selfish in the way that they think. And I'm not sure what contributes to that completely. You know, maybe it's a privileged upbringing where they're not even thinking selfishly. They're just being ignorant because of their privilege. Maybe it's something else. I think that you know if you're, you know deep down if you're being a selfish person. You know when you're lying to yourself. You know when you are putting other people down for your own benefit. So I don't have to tell you what's contributing to that. You know if it's you. I consider myself, as humbly as I can, to be a kind person who cares about other people's feelings and just cares about other people in general. I care about the well-being of others, and I care about, you know, how people are doing. I care about sparing people unnecessary pain. And I live my life that way. But that is a choice that I make, because I often come to a crossroads where there's a decision to be made to either put myself first or put someone else first. And I've been learning to balance that better. I'm learning to set boundaries. This is, you know, the past few months has been a season of setting boundaries. And I think really the lesson from the past few years of my life has been self-belief and setting boundaries. So learning to empower myself instead of fully give myself to everyone in every situation, that has been a very powerful, important lesson to learn. However, some people have the opposite lesson to learn, right? They respect themselves a lot, and they hold themselves in high regard, and they put themselves first so much to the point where they may harm others. For me, I was helping others and harming myself. And if we're being real, if you're unable to help yourself, you're not actually really being that great of a help to other people, which is why business is such a good pursuit, because you can pick a real problem. I'm not a believer in creating a problem and then selling the solution. I think that's what corporate America does. but that's another tangent. I think that that's why business is so good, because you get to choose a problem to solve and solve that problem with passion. And because you're investing in yourself first, you're able to solve the problems of a lot of people. Whereas if you just put everyone first in every situation, your circle of influence remains small, and your scale of impact also remains small. So anyway, I'm bringing this up because there are multiple moments in my life, almost every day, where I have to make a decision to exercise empathy. And sometimes, again, I have to draw a boundary. So for instance, for those of you that aren't caught up or whatever, I've been Ubering in Nashville for about a year now, a little over a year. It's been a great job, challenging but rewarding. I have a full-time, you know, I work full-time to make this dream happen, this dream of really just helping people question everything. That's the simplest way to put it. But I recently transitioned my employment from Ubering to pedicabbing, or riding a rickshaw or a bike cab, whatever you want to call it. Some people don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know of any other names for it. So I'm doing that downtown, and that's like my full-time job now. And I rode past this guy who stopped me, and he's like, "Hey man, I need help." And, you know, I got the gut feeling that I wasn't really going to be able to help this guy, but I at least like stuck around and heard what he had to say. And he was basically saying that he needed a ride to the CVS. And the CVS was not very close. It was doable, but not close and not convenient. And the more questions I asked him, his story changed. He was saying he had just gotten out of jail and they, you know, put him in there wrongfully and whatever. And then he was saying he needed to go to Chick-fil-A. So his he was changing like where he needed to go. And again, this was me practicing setting boundaries. I was like, look, man, your story keeps changing. I'm trying to help you, but I honestly have no idea how I can, because you're being unclear. I was like, what do you need from me? And he couldn't give me a straight answer. And so I exercised emotional empathy by imagining what it would be like to be him. You know, he's not wearing, he's not even wearing real clothes. And he has like this weird bag of like random stuff. I think the dude was probably on drugs, maybe experiencing some like, you know, meth, psychosis, or something of the sort, something unpleasant. And then I exercised mental empathy again by imagining like the logistics of his situation. And ultimately, he was wasting my time. He was not being respectful of my time. I pulled over to help him. He was not giving me any straight answers. He kept changing his story. And then he just started asking me for money instead of a ride. And I said, sorry, man, I gotta go. And I rode away. And I was proud of myself for that because, you know, I have the tendencies of a people pleaser. And it's something I've struggled with for a while. In a while, meaning my whole life. So, you know, 25 years. And I was able to put my foot down and say, all right, I gave you a chance. I was willing to help you. And you kind of just were unappreciative and disrespectful. So boom, I left. You know, that's an exercise. It's something that you have to practice in situations like that. I think balancing self-respect with empathy for others. So I was originally planning on just discussing the, you know, the two sides of empathy, almost two sides of the same coin, where they are one, but you can look at it from two different sides and see something different. But I have mentioned balancing self-respect or boundaries with empathy. So I wonder what direction I can take that in. But I wanted really to just propose this concept of mental empathy. I think that when you exercise emotional empathy, it leads to love. I think the result of exercising that is love. And then I think that when you exercise mental empathy or cognitive empathy, the result of that is perspective. And that's why, you know, my parents are still together. They've never been divorced. But when I'm talking with a friend whose parents have been divorced, I'm able to have mental empathy for that situation. I'm able to imagine all of the different components of what's going on. I'm able to imagine, you know, how it would feel and really just feel the cognitive weight of that situation. And again, project my consciousness outside of my own ego and experience the mental experience of my parents being divorced. And that's how I'm able to even possibly give advice on how to handle it. Now, that's a little iffy. Some people are going to have very strong opinions on that. Like, don't give advice on something you don't have experience in. I think the best advice comes from something you have experience in, because it's like a real tangible lesson that you've learned. But there is something to be said for perspective, which I think comes from exercising mental empathy. And maybe this is a special trait that I have, but I'm able to give pretty good advice for things that I haven't specifically been through. But again, I think that that is mostly a byproduct of my, or a result of my practice with empathy. So there's that. And then obviously I can, you know, emotionally empathize with it, because instead of imagining the, like using my left brain to imagine the scenario, I'm using my right brain essentially, where I'm tapping into the emotions of the situation. I'm feeling the emotions of my friend, and I'm imagining what it feels like to have your parents separate and to have this tension in the home and all these things. So it's funny, because I think it seems like actually most empathy is just like mental empathy, and then you kind of like project those feelings. So it starts with mental empathy, and then it can become emotional empathy. So it starts with perspective and ends with love. And maybe that's true. But I did have a conversation with a friend yesterday, good friend from Australia, who's also a creator. And he was basically saying, like, you know, we were talking about the law of attraction, manifestation, and just kind of throwing around some ideas and our experiences. And I was mentioning that the feeling part of manifestation is something that I forget to focus on. And he was like, well, the thing is, when you're visualizing, because I told him that I'm pretty good at visualizing and like believing that that thing is going to happen. He's like, when you're visualizing, like, you don't have to force yourself to think about the emotions of if that's already happened. He said that that's just a natural part of the process, that when you are visualizing things, it evokes certain emotions within you. And then I realized, oh yeah, I'm not really missing a piece. So I think that it's less about our brain when we're talking about empathy. It's less about our brain and more about our consciousness, our mind. And I hope that makes sense. I hope that's a distinction that makes sense, where it doesn't start with your brain and then end with like emotions. I think it's more of when you are directing your consciousness in a certain direction. Was that redundant? I think so. when you are projecting your consciousness outwards in a certain direction, I think that the result of that is both mental and emotional change. So these are some pretty like, not vague, but yeah, these are some concepts that I'm toying with. I wanted to share this idea with you to see if it resonates with you, to see if it makes sense. I think that it's important to not only understand that empathy is a capability that you have, but also understand the different components of it. I want to also briefly mention why I think empathy is important. You know, I defined it, and I've never heard it defined this way. But again, I believe that empathy is when you project your consciousness outside. Excuse me, outside of your ego, which is the, you know, the perception vehicle that you are attached to in mortality. You project outside of your ego and you experience what it's like to be someone else or be from their point of view. And that's empathy. Why is this even important in the first place? Well, I think there's a few reasons. And first of all, maybe it's better to even ask the question, where does the ability come from? Well, you might be aware of the theory of God that I've presented, and it's not entirely unique to me. It's more, you know, it's more commonly held by people that consider themselves to be spiritual. But this idea that basically God is all of us, that we are all God experiencing itself from different points of view. It's probably the simplest way to put it. I think that when you exercise empathy, first of all, that's probably where that capability comes from. That ability comes from the fact that we are actually an all-knowing being. We've just intentionally limited our perspective for a time, or maybe permanently, so that we can experience reality from different points of view, because there's nuance, because that makes things interesting, because without that, it'd be boring. How boring would it be to know everything all at once? So I think that's where this ability comes from. And I think it's important to exercise it, because it empowers us and it empowers other people. We all want to be seen and understood. And the thing is, I think all of the world's problems are a result of a lack of empathy. Think about it. You have a serial killer who has been probably experienced a lot of trauma as a child. I mean, most people that end up doing horrible things like that, you can trace it back to a troubled household, which is why my wife and I have waited to have kids. We've been married 4.5 years. We do not have kids, because we understand how serious it is. We understand that if we embark on a journey as parents unprepared, it could have serious consequences. It could literally cost the lives of other people. We might not even have any idea. And it's not like everything is your fault when you're a parent, but it is your responsibility. And we've talked about that before on the podcast too, the difference between fault and responsibility. So where did the troubles in the home come from? Well, fighting parents, abusive parents, whatever it might be that causes this childhood trauma that then leads this person to be disconnected from their own empathetic capabilities. And over time, that festers and grows into a nightmare cocktail of anger and hatred, or just complete apathy for humanity. And boom, you have a serial killer. So if there was empathy in the home, and then if the individual exercised empathy, they wouldn't be killing people, let alone a lot of people. If you had people running large corporations who actually cared about the well-being of their customers over how much money they can get from them, corporate America would look very different. We wouldn't have a system where you buy food that makes you sick, you use health products that make you sick, then you go to the hospital, which is extremely expensive, to get drugs that continue to mask the issue and make you sick. That system would not exist. We'd be solving real problems that exist on their own, not artificial problems that we've created to sell a solution. And I don't bring that up to be all doom and gloom. I bring it up to say that empathy is the solution. That if you can actually take a moment in your day-to-day life to exercise this ability that you do have to project your conscious energy, your life force, outside of the personality that is your ego, and hop in someone else's shoes for a minute. That's like walk a mile in someone else's shoes. You don't need to actually walk a mile in someone else's shoes. First of all, you'd probably get blisters. Second of all, it's gross. Third of all, it's unnecessary. You can do it with your mind. A lack of empathy is the reason why we have suffering in this world. that resonates as true to me. Yes, people die, right? People die regardless of a lack of empathy. So, for instance, I could, you know, someone that I love could die and I could be really sad about it, but there's a difference between being sad about the loss of someone and being miserable. Suffering is a choice. And it's a choice you make based on how willing you are to accept and let go. When you're unwilling to accept and let go, you create suffering. So that's in relation to things that aren't actually directly caused from a lack of empathy. But everything else, all of these artificial problems that we face, lack of empathy. If we all exercised a little more empathy, the world would be a better place. So I hope that this episode helped you empower yourself to take responsibility for and understand this skill that can be developed, that you already have access to. And I will continue to do the same. Appreciate you guys so much. Love you lots. This is like, what, episode 24 or something of Question Everything, which is awesome. I finally outpaced the Enter the Void podcast that I started last year. So now there's a total of almost 50 episodes that I've done in the last year and a half. And I'm just really grateful for this journey. Thank you guys for supporting and listening. And I hope this helped. And I will catch you on the next one.